The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it.
I think this had to have been recorded last week during the owners' meetings when the coaches and GMs and everybody was down in Orlando. Just based on the video that I saw from it. But Matt LaFleur was on This Is Football podcast produced by Omaha. You can find it with ESPN. And he was just on there talking about a couple of different things. Chew had a good conversation. And mostly, I mean, he was talking about Jordan Love and the growth. But he also talked what he thinks is the biggest difference from 2023 to 2024. Let's go ahead and hear what Matt LaFleur had to say. What he thinks the biggest difference for the Packers going into next season is going to be.
Biggest difference between the 2023 Packers and the 2024 Packers will be what?
I just think how we manage our own expectations, getting our guys. We had a really young team last year. I think we exceeded a lot of people's belief in what we could do. But, you know, I've been in this game for a long time now, and nothing's going to be given to you. So our guys are going to have to come back with the right mentality and just get to work. You know, get to work. How our ability to come together as a team is going to be critical, and making sure that our guys take that next step, each individual, so our collective group can be better.
Kevin Clark was the one asking the question. He is the host of that podcast. You can listen to it in its entirety. Again, just to find him on Twitter or just find it wherever you listen to your podcasts. But what do you think, Chewy, when you hear that? Because I think that's the old McCarthyism of stacking successes. That's the old, how do we handle success? What do you think? What do you think? I guess we'll start there. What do you think is the biggest difference, or will be, between 2023 and 2024 for Green Bay?
I think it's now they're going to be on the radar. Last year they weren't on the radar. There's a difference of being on the radar when you're the Green Bay Packers and on the radar when you're the Houston Texans. Okay? The Packers are an iconic franchise, like the Cowboys, like the Red Sox, like the Yankees. You know, when the Yankees, let's take the Yankees because I don't want to beat up on the Red Sox, are an average team,
yeah.
Gabe, are an average team, and they're playing a team that's better than them in a certain year, you're still beating the Yankees. You're not beating the Royals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's even bigger because now you're expected to have a pretty good season, and you're expected to be one of the better teams in the NFC. With that, I mean, there's pressure. I talk about pressure all the time. There's going to be pressure with Jordan Love signing his new deal. There's going to be pressure being preseason top 10 in the power rankings. These are all things that they have not experienced yet. So that's how I think it's going to be different. It's, you know, we always talk about the sophomore slump, right? In whatever sport you're playing, is there a sophomore slump? Well, you got a lot of sophomores coming up. Are they going to be able to replicate what they did last year? I don't know. That still remains to be seen. But I think the biggest thing is now they are going to be on everyone's radar.
When did you guys enter the radar? And it was different because the Packers, for so long, when you guys finally got on the radar, mm-hmm. were bad for so long. Versus now. Like now, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys, if we're following this kind of same trajectory for Jordan Love's version of the Green Bay Packers versus your guys's, you would have thought that maybe you guys arrived on the scene when you beat Detroit, Brett hit Sterling, you go to Dallas the next year. But I feel like you really didn't arrive until you won the division in 95, when you really started turning heads, really started getting attention.
Yeah.
Or did you guys get some attention in 94 as well?
Well, we got a little bit because of Brett, because he was such a different style of quarterback, and he was young, and he was the gunslinger, and he played reckless, you know, threw a lot of picks, but you knew it was always going to be exciting. I don't think people took us seriously.
Okay.
You know, we were kind of a sideshow, 92, 93, up until 94, when people said, you know what, they're putting a nice thing. And obviously, you can go to Reggie.
Yeah.
Because I don't think, if we don't get Reggie, Gabe, We're not getting Keith Jackson.
Yeah.
Not getting Eugene Robinson. Then it's all about the money. There was a time like, all right, I'll go to Green Bay, but you have to overpay me.
Which is basically what they did for Reggie.
Yes. Once you got Reggie, they're like, and Reggie did a good job selling it. You know, I know he called Keith up because Keith, when we traded for him, he sat out for the first eight games of that season. And Reggie's like, dude, we got a good thing going here. This young number four is going to be pretty good. And then you get Sean Jones. You know, you get all these guys who typically would have had to been overpaid to come to Green Bay were just coming because they wanted a Super Bowl ring.
I think managing the expectations is going to be an interesting part. And Matt LaFleur, he should have, obviously, experience in doing this. Because when he first arrived in Green Bay, the expectations were high because they still had Aaron Rodgers. They were coming off of back-to-back seasons where they didn't make the playoffs, but then they win 13 games. Okay, now the expectations there. Okay, we win 13 games. Okay, the expectations are there. You win 13 games, right? So I think Matt LaFleur at least should be in a good position as a coach to get the staff and team ready, but a lot of this is on the players. And I like the fact that you see some of the videos that have been posted on social media with the wide receivers working, everybody getting their work in, make sure it's there. Because in terms of a sophomore slump or living up to expectations, I think that's going to be the toughest part. I think the coaching staff's going to have a great plan for this team because they know what it looks like right now, especially offensively. Maybe some pieces need to still fall into place for Hafley over on the defensive side. But it comes down to how much work is Dontayvion Wicks, how much work is Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, how much work are these guys putting in the offseason? Are they, we were good last year, we got this thing figured out, or are they working in the mentality of, hey, we need to make sure we're still getting better? And I think the mentality that you have, we were just talking about professionalism with the Bucks, Chew, it's the Wizards, we got the Wizards. Then you go out there and you lose last night, your coach says, hey, we have a lack of professionalism we need to figure out. And I think that kind of translates that conversation over to these young guys and it could be even be harder for young guys now, Chew, because the coaches can't have as much contact as they could have with someone like you when you were coming up, when you would be in Green Bay, putting the off-season work in the facility because coaches could talk to you. And now you've got to wait until off-season programs start and that whole nine yards. So to me, in today's NFL, it comes down to, are the individual guys putting in the work? I think they are, but we will see who has and who hasn't once we hit training camp.
I think the bigger part of that game is managing the egos because they're all going to work hard because they see the money that's out there. You know, there's an incredible amount of money, and players play for money. They do a lot of times. So I see it more of, LaFleur's challenge is going to be to manage those egos because there are going to be stretches where guys don't get balls. It's a real thing. Guys, we bitch a lot. We do. That's why we had Margaritaville. In Margaritaville, when I played, and this is probably 94, 95, was a lunch, and Kent Johnson, the strength and conditioning coach there, had a nice office. And guys would go in there and have lunch, but we called it Margaritaville because you were not allowed to talk about football. If you talked about football, you're out. It's get out. Because most times when we talk about football, when we're in the building, we're complaining about something.
Yeah,
we're either complaining about something or we're making fun of someone.
Those are the two
options. That's how it rolls. Yes. So that's a part of it and how they manage these egos, because you're going to get some guys that are creeping up, some important guys that are creeping up on contract time. And there's going to be a time, Gabe, where they're going to like, you know what? Let's extend Jaden Reed, but let's not extend Wicks.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Because those decisions are going to have to be made.
Conflict.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Absolutely. And a lot of times, Chewy, when those contract negotiations start happening, like for Dobbs and Watson, and I don't know if both those guys are going to be here in 2 years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've each played for two, I guess in 3 years, I don't know, I should say, because they've each played 2 years, they have 2 years left on their rookie deal. But next offseason is typically when those contract negotiations start to happen. If you're going to be locking somebody in for a long-term deal, you're not letting them get to that last year. So if they want Christian Watson to stick around beyond 2026 or Romeo Doubs to stick around past 2026, then they need to be starting to have those negotiations next year and going into that last year. Yeah. And that could, you know, and then the same thing's going to happen for Reed and Wicks the following season, right? And sure. And you're not going to be able to keep
the
all
tight
four
ends
of these guys.
Yeah. And the tight ends.
And the tight ends.
Because there's a good chance, and let's see, they weren't first round picks, so.
No fifth year option. All 4 year deals.
2 years, there's a chance they can't keep both of them.
No.
So they got to choose. And right now, I think those tight ends are running neck and neck.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Year two is going to be big for both of them to kind of see who separates. And I think the Packers are going to run a lot of two tight end sets.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's that's the thing that kind of under it all, I want to enjoy as a Packers fan this embarrassment of riches they seemingly have at the pass catcher position, the four mm-hmm. wide receivers and the two tight ends. Because sure. I know in a couple of years, it's going to start to slowly unravel because they're not going to be able to keep all six.
Is Matt LaFleur in a better spot to manage the egos of the players after dealing with sports' biggest ego?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, again, like LaFleur's in a great spot. And I guess that's what makes me excited. And I'm excited about not having that sophomore slump or not being able to stack successes and handle the success. Because LaFleur has shown that he can do it, and he's shown that he can do it while managing one of the bigger egos in the sport.
But here's the silo problem, Gabe. It's not his decision. It's not his decision.
Yep.
It's Goody's decision. LaFleur can go, I like Doubs more than I like Watson. Well, Goody can go, I really don't give a crap. Mm-hmm. I'm in charge of the roster.
Yep.
I like Watson better than Doubs.
And then I guess it's on, and then hopefully it comes down to, you know, LaFleur of, okay, accepting that decision and then being able to manage whatever those expectations are,
mm-hmm.
you know, and managing yeah. the egos, even though he likes one more than the other. Okay, now this is my job where I'm going to have to manage this thing.
God, if you could ever be a fly on the wall, I'd love to know, and I don't think it's contentious. There might be two egos battling, but how that relationship really is.
I heard Wilde and Tausch talking about this yesterday, and I think that my guess it was maybe a little more contentious when you're 2-5. And then, but then when you go 9-8 and you give the 49ers everything they can handle in the divisional round, like the yeah. winning kind of cures
winning
all.
Winning cures
right?
all. Yeah.
At this point, if you were to postulate any type of issue between the two, if you go to Goody and say, "What are you doing with this roster?" He goes, "What do you mean? Look at it. We're good.
Yeah.
We're really good." So, yeah, you might not be happy some guys don't stick around here or don't get the contract, but the proof is in the pudding right now for Brian Gutekunst in a big way. Well, the same way it is for Matt LaFleur as a head coach.
The biggest thing, though, again, I think the biggest thing for both of them is, I mean, yeah, we're seeing it play out right now in Cincinnati, and maybe T. Higgins ends up playing on yeah. the franchise tag, too. But
yeah.
you're going to have to make, if these guys, if three out of the four, I mean, it'd be unbelievable if all four continue to develop and just become unbelievable wide receivers, right? So let's just say if three out of the four develop and you have to make tough decisions, like that's going to be the next layer of this for Gutekunst and for LaFleur. God, is how do you handle those decisions?
We should do a checklist, and not me, more so you guys.
Okay, sure, yeah, yeah. No, when you said we understood yeah. what you meant.
Of like just comparing the two, because I was sitting here going, all right, who did better last year? LaFleur or Goody, you know,
ooh.
But throughout both of their tenure, right? Because you got LaFleur, all right, you never got past an NFC championship game with a pretty good roster. But then Goody's black mark is you drafted 8 or 9 first rounders on defense and they kind of haven't been very good.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, their successes, there's pluses and minuses for both, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, more pluses, obviously, I think, with the arrow pointing up for the Green Bay Packers. That could be a fun exercise that we could do throughout the course of the offseason. Maybe I'll start working on a list, try to figure that out.
Yeah, I'll leave that one
just
up
giving
to
you more work, Gabe.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you, bud. Like, you want to know yeah. the answers? I will try to do my best to provide you the answers. I can't wait till I provide you with the answers and then for you to complain or make fun of them.
Or take credit
for them. Maybe all yes. three. Maybe okay. All three. Who knows? You'll hit for the trifecta. You want to be heading out to X-Golf at American Family Field. Season is now underway. And what's cool about X-Golf at AmFam Field is you can book non-game day time. Go in there, work on your game. I know a lot of people that like to do that over their lunch hour. Oh, let's go get some swings in over, you know, over lunch and hit some balls and have some of the great lunch specials that they have there. But what's cool about the game day experience now at X-Golf at American Family Field, you can book a sim, you can bring a group, and with new this year, you can get your single game tickets that combine sim time and the game tickets. Just go to the Brewers website, buy tickets like you normally do. There is an option there, just like if you're buying Loge bleacher seats or you're buying seats down behind the dugout. It's the same option in there. And what's also cool this year at American Family Field and X-Golf, they have a new hole-in-one contest where if you're playing on a course, it's not for the contest or the beat the pro, driving range, or putting in all those different things that you can do. But if you are playing a round of golf at X-Golf at American Family Field, any guest that makes a hole-in-one at X-Golf, well, you're going to have the opportunity to go down Bernie's slide. That is right. So find out more. Book your time at X-Golf at AmFam Field. .com. X-Golf, AmFamField.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
So there was some sound last week, and I'm pretty sure we played it on this show, but it was making its rounds about the shock and surprise that Matt LaFleur had when it came to signing Josh Jacobs and the way that all came together for the Green Bay Packers. Rob Domofsky, our pal, covers the Packers over at ESPN.com. Well, he appeared on, was it SportsCenter or was it NFL Live yesterday? I think it was NFL
Live. NFL Live, yep.
So he was on NFL Live yesterday, and he wanted to clarify, Chu, because again, a lot is made, and we just talked about it, the relationship between LaFleur and Gutekunst, what's going on. He wanted to clarify some of the things that he thought about Matt LaFleur and the Packers signing Josh Jacobs.
The "it caught me off guard" comment that Matt LaFleur made last week at the NFL meetings has certainly gotten some attention. But it's a sign of just how quickly things can change in free agency. It wasn't that LaFleur didn't know Josh Jacobs had been in their discussions if they couldn't come to an agreement with Aaron Jones on a pay cut. The surprise, I'm told from people in the building, was that they just had to pivot so fast that they were able to do it to Jacobs once Jones turned down the pay cut. LaFleur, look, like a lot of coaches, he's not involved in the dollar amounts, the talk of pay cuts. But he, like many in the organization, Laura, went into the offseason thinking that Aaron Jones would be their running back. In Jacobs, though, LaFleur said they have a tough, hard-nosed back who is a high-volume guy. And given how Aaron Jones has battled injuries over the last year or so, maybe Jacobs is a better option for them from that standpoint.
Yeah, and I also think that LaFleur wanted to keep Aaron Jones. I think he was in that camp. He was also asked, we were playing to some of that sound that he had with Kevin Clark over on the This Is Football podcast. He was, well, another piece of that sound was he was asked the biggest badass that he had ever coached, and he said Aaron Jones. So I think LaFleur, clearly a fan of Aaron Jones, wanted Aaron Jones to stick around, but because Jones wouldn't accept the pay cut, the Packers had to pivot quickly. And to Domofsky's point, I think that's what kind of caught him by surprise, is that they were able to pivot so quickly from Aaron Jones, okay, he's not going to accept the pay cut. Who can we get? And next thing you know, Josh Jacobs. Because that was one of the biggest, and I think it was one of the first things that came out of free agency week, Chu, was that the Packers were signing Josh Jacobs.
I think it goes to what we were just talking about. The communication between Goody and LaFleur isn't the greatest. Because, Gabe, that wasn't a pay cut.
Yes.
That wasn't a pay cut.
Yeah.
That was a slap in the face. That's a, I don't want you around here anymore. To go from $11 million to what was the number? Three?
I think it was just under four plus, like, incentives, a little over $2 million incentives.
That to a player is get out of town. And players aren't stupid. I mean, come on. After the season, I know he missed a few games in there, but still showed that he's still one hell of a football player.
Oh, he was. I would say he was the catalyst. He was the catalyst, yeah. Chew, behind the offense going on the run that they did at the end of the season.
Gabe, it's one thing to go from 11 to 6.5 just to throw it out there.
Mm-hmm.
But to go from 11 to under 4.
Guaranteed, yep.
A player has no other way of reading that other than get the hell out of town. So if LaFleur knew that, he wouldn't have said what he said. I don't think. He'd be like, what? You're offering him that after he made that and after he did this for us last year? Of course the guy isn't going to come back. What are you, crazy?
Yeah.
So that to me, that just goes of lack of – that to me, maybe not lack of communication, but it's more of you stay in your lane and I'll stay in mine.
I don't doubt that Rob was told those things, but that reads to me as damage control. I, for one, don't think there needs to be damage control here. I think the GM should make the team, should pick the players, and Matt LaFleur can voice his unhappiness with it. But when you put winning teams on the field, it doesn't really matter, like we mentioned in the last segment. It seems like the Packers, when it got aggregated, because this was Jason's article that got aggregated about him being shocked about Aaron Jones longer being there. It seems like the Packers are trying to cover up something that may look dysfunctional for a team they're planning to make Super Bowl runs with here in the future. But to me, it's a nothing burger. Like, what do we want? And what would it improve the Green Bay Packers' wins and losses, other than keeping them both on the same team, which we thought about for about 15 minutes there?
Well, like, who was it that said that they were both going to be on the team? Whoever, that's who I blame for saying that they were both.
I believe
both
it was Rap Sheet.
I think it was Rappaport, yes. Who got me excited. Again, I was not here. I was on a golf course in Vegas, like updating all my buddies, like, oh man, did you see, like right before we teed off in Vegas, oh man, Josh Jacobs. It was the talk of everybody there because it's a bunch of Wisconsin guys playing golf. And everyone's, well, what does that mean for Aaron Jones? I'm like, oh, I'm not sure. And then Rappaport says, oh, now they're going to have both in the backfield. I'm like, hey, guess what, guys? They're going to have both. And then, what, hour and a half, 2 hours later, oh, I guess they're releasing Aaron Jones.
But you know what would be interesting if it ever happens is if LaFleur gets to a point where he's won two Super Bowls and he's around contract time and he says, I don't need Goody anymore. It's what Andy Reid did in Kansas City. He got rid of John Dorsey.
Oh, I mean,
John Dorsey was thought of as a pretty good GM at that time.
Isn't it?
Andy Reid wanted the power, and he got the power because he was winning Super Bowls.
Isn't it more or less what Holmgren did as well?
Correct. But he had to leave town to do it.
Yeah, because he wanted to be the general manager as well, which just doesn't happen in today's NFL. But he was the one who started that push in that era of football where you wanted to be the GM and coach in the NFL.
Sure.
So to your point, Chu, yes, it definitely does happen across the NFL. Excited to talk to our friend Justin McCoy as he is going to be updating us on all the cool things happening at Cousin Subs. Plus, we're going to unveil who is that free subs for a year winner. That's next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get a monocle?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just get it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know how much we love Cousin Subs here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And shout out to Justin McCoy, who brought in the chili cheese fries for me again, because he knows how much I loved them the last time he brought them in. Because nothing says, you know, breakfast like chili cheese fries at 8:30 in the morning. I'm still going to house them. They're fantastic.
The weather kind of calls for chili cheese fries, right?
100%. I mean, the weather calls just for chili cheese fries. So, Chewy, I'm really excited because Cousin Subs, as we know, they have proud Wisconsin roots. They love the state of Wisconsin, and they have possibly the most Wisconsin promotion going on right now, Justin, and I'm holding one in my hand right here. What does Cousin Subs have going on right now?
So now through the end of April, we have our pull tab giveaway promotion. Now, Chewy, have you ever seen a pull tab in Lake Country?
Yes.
Yeah, probably one or two.
maybe a few.
I actually pulled a few of them.
You know, being a Wisconsin boy, we were... You know, we're always thinking about like what's a new promotion we can do, and it just kind of came to me, and I'm like, why don't we do a pull tab promotion? Let's do that. So basically, right now, in stores through the end of April, if you buy a sub or a sub and a bowl, you get a pull tab.
All right, and so what can people win with the pull tab?
Yeah, so you can win 20% off, and then we have a bunch of free items. So you can win freebies like cookies, drinks, chips, fries, or a free sub. But the big prize is that we have 10 Cousin Subs for a year winner pull tabs.
Oh, wow.
And we've already had two of them.
Oh, you've already had two.
So we've had two. So there's eight of them floating around out there.
The Cousin Subs golden ticket. So I've got one here, Chew. Like, while you ask your question, I'm just going to pull out here. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, here we go. I am also
winner,
a winner.
Winner,
I am a winner. I've got 20% off my future order.
There we go.
Man, this is... This is such a great idea because who in Wisconsin
doesn't love a pull tabs? Like
there's nothing better than like out in Lake Country or my pal Eric Name, who covers the Bucks for The Athletic. Like anytime we go somewhere and there's a pull tab machine, like he disappears for about 5 minutes and he comes back with a stack and he starts passing around the table. It's a great Wisconsin tradition.
You know what they call it? Cardboard crack.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yes, I'm very aware. You know, just very aware.
Feed the machine.
Justin, but, quick question. Yeah. The swag you're wearing, can people buy that, or is that just for
they can buy that
in the biz?
Thank you for asking, Chu.
kid loves to support the colors. He loves, you know, having a little Wisconsin pride, and he still wears the Cousins hat that you gave us 2 years ago. So
yeah, we do.
What
I'm
getting at, maybe instead of the sub the next time in town, I could maybe get a hat.
Well, Chu. So I do a new hat. I work with my designer every year and design a new hat, and we're working on the 2024 version, and I can have that by the next time I come in.
Perfect.
But, for the general public, they can go to CousinSubShop.com, and they can buy all the Cousin Subs merch that they want.
That's good swag.
It is.
All right,
Justin, so we haven't talked to you since free agency, I believe. What'd you think? Do you like what they picked up?
Well, I think you have to love what we did at the safety position. I mean, for the first time since Nick Collins, I hope we have somebody on the back end who can perform the way we need them to. You know, it was a big surprise with Aaron Jones. I've been very fortunate, and Cousins has been very fortunate, to partner with Aaron on a campaign called Yards for Shoes. I will tell you, there's no better guy who's ever put on the green and gold. Aaron was just a stand-up guy, and it was a bummer to see that. I think from a business perspective, you can see why it happened, both from his perspective and the team's perspective. And I guess if that had to happen, bringing in Josh Jacobs was something
did that ease the pain of seeing somebody who just 2 years ago led the league, was first team all pro, like replacing Aaron Jones? I think they did about as well as they could.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it was just that like euphoria for a brief moment when you thought we were going to have both, right? And you're like, there's no way we're letting Aaron go.
We were
literally just talking
about that, and we were blaming Ian Rappaport because he tweeted out that, oh, now the Packers are going to have these two talented backs.
Yeah.
And everybody was just like, oh my God, this offense is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it was like you're thinking, we got a season of this together, you know, probably. Again, you know, Aaron has to do what's in the best interest of Aaron. And, you know, Aaron will be back in Green Bay, I have no doubt, you know, at some point in time. And it's disappointing to see him go up to Minnesota, but he had to do what he had to do.
Well, another one of those Packers that you guys have worked with, Donald Driver. You guys have a cool thing going on with the softball game, and he's been a big part of that. You guys are a big part of that now as well. What do you guys have going on with Double D?
Yeah, so we have the Green Bay Softball VIP giveaway going on. So basically, you can enter daily at cousinsubs.com/GBSoftball. For an opportunity to win a VIP experience at the softball game. So basically, you get tickets to the game, great tickets. You get an opportunity to meet Donald Driver, possibly some other Packer players. And this year is going to be a cool experience. They're switching back to offense versus defense. So the last few years, it's been like former players versus current players. But this year, they're doing offense, defense. Donald has said he doesn't know which team he's going to play for this year, so that'll be interesting. But the captain of the offense is going to be Jordan Love. So pretty cool deal.
Yeah.
I mean, Chewy, you could still go yard in that game.
Oh, in that game, yeah. I don't know if I could get the first base.
But... we could get a runner for you, bud.
Chewy, I'll tell you, somebody who impressed me last year was Billy Schrader. Billy Schrader.
Billy's an athlete.
They had a home run contest, and he knocked the cover off the ball. That guy was just blasting softballs out of Fox City Stadium. It was insane. Well,
is he still doing the long drive stuff? Because, I mean, I've been with him on the golf course, and it's like Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is last year he was just crushing softballs into the trees behind Fox City Stadium.
Another thing with Cousin Subs, I know it probably helps to think about warmer weather right now, But Summerfest is going to be coming up, and you guys have a cool ticket giveaway going on.
Yeah, so through this entire month, if you make a purchase online of $30 or more, you get a free weekday Summerfest ticket. And it's definitely nice to think about Summerfest when you're driving in here with some snow on the ground as Chewy's sitting down in Florida.
He sent us a picture, though, of his house up here with the snow on the ground.
Yeah, he got a little snow.
But again, he doesn't have to deal with it. So.
Yeah, you know, he's away.
So, Justin, is there a secret sub in the works like there was last year with the hot Cheetos that put us in a food coma during the show last year?
There is. So I would say we have a sub lined up, but I'm also in the lab working on something else. So we'll see if it comes to fruition.
A potential competitor? Gonna have a little taste off at Cousin Subs?
Yeah, so we're playing around right now, and we'll see if it comes to fruition. I will just say it's the ham of Hawaii is a little hint for you.
Little sounds a little pineapple-y.
Well, it sounds a little spammy.
Do you wear the lab? When you go into the lab, do you got the coat on, Justin? Or you know, you got to wear the
pocket
white
protector the whole
lab
time. You know,
all right. Pen right there. Just to, you know, it's more of a science than it is an art when you're putting together these cousins. So, like, I still don't know how you guys came up with what you did last year. I don't know if I've ever seen Chewy react to food the way he did when he brought that in.
That thing was, like, unbelievable.
I mean, I think that broke his workout routine. He was, you know, had his jug of water in here, and then, you know, next thing you know, he's having flaming hot Cheetos and cheese sauce at 8 a.m.
Justin, you were also excited, just like me yesterday. You were at the home opener for the Brewers. How excited are you for Brewers baseball this year?
Super excited. I mean, great young lineup. Watching that team play right now, and you think about Garrett Mitchell being hurt, who I thought was going to have a breakout year.
I'm right there with you.
Super excited to see him get in the lineup with the team. And I don't know, you have to look at – it's hard to look at that team and not think Yelly's back. The way he played last year, now they put him in the three-hole. The power seems like it's back. It's exciting. And, you know, Gabe, we were talking before we came on. It's like, but can the pitching align with the hitting? It feels like every Brewer season we either have an offense or a defense. Well, so can they align?
Did Hoskins get the biggest, the loudest claps in when they were introducing the team? Because it was hard to tell from watching it on TV, but it sounded pretty damn loud.
I'm trying to think. Who do you think
got the biggest?
Yeah, you. Yes. Yeah,
the,
you actually, did. I looked at my buddy, and when they showed Uke in the top of the first, I got goosebumps. Because the Uke chant went, and the crowd, I mean, Chew, that was the loudest park was.
Yeah, Uke got a big chant when they announced that they weren't issuing any parking violations because the parking thing didn't work. That got a pretty good cheer. But when they introduced everyone, I think Yelich was still up there. I mean, Reese got one. The crazy part is, 3 days before this, like when the season started, if you told me, oh yeah, Reese Hoskins is going to get a huge cheer at AmFam, really? What did he do? And he got a huge ovation, Chew. So he was certainly up there. He's already endeared himself to the fan base.
Absolutely. But it was a bad day for business at Miller Park. So the parking went down.
Yep.
But I was at the third base bar around the seventh inning. They were out of Miller High Life, Miller Light, and Coors Light at the seventh inning. How does that happen?
On opening day.
In Milwaukee.
Not Miller Park, but AmFam. But how does that happen? So the parking's down. They're out of beer. Like, it was like the lights had gone. The lights went out for like a period of time. Like, it was just like a weird day.
It was a weird day at AmFam.
It was like snowing
yesterday
and sleeting outside. It was, the whole thing was going on.
All right, before we let you go, Justin, we do it every time. Free subs for a year. Sweepstakes is a part of this with the midweek meal ticket here on 94.5 ESPN. CousinSubs.com/freesubs is where you can go to sign up for Cousin Subs for a to win Cousin Subs for a year now through September. Who is our winner this time around?
Our winner is Ian Ledesma from Fond du Lac.
Hey, nice. Congratulations to Ian, winner of free subs for a year. 45,000 entries. People love Cousin Subs here. And you love Wisconsin. Yeah. It's a great match.
We do.
CousinSubs.com/freesubs if you want to sign up and potentially be the winner the next time that Justin joins us and may or may not have a hoodie or a hat or something for Chewy.
I will try.
Can't wait.
Justin, thank you so much, bud.
Thanks for having
Justin.
Me on.
Again, Justin from Cousin Subs joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We give you the final two matchups of our Sweet 16 in the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket coming up next.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
So get your best face
here's always the problem when Justin from Cousin Subs comes in, is he has all this food and all I want to do is eat it, and I don't want to finish the show.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, we've got your sub here, Chew. I don't think you're going to be here in time to eat it, so I'm probably just going to...
Feel free.
Yeah. Probably just take it for myself.
What'd you get?
I got a BLT this time around.
Oh,
mix it up a little bit.
I want classic turkey. I'm a turkey guy.
All right. I believe I got the roast beef again.
You
I
did, yes.
Get off the roast beef.
No, it's good. The roast beef and cheddar. Very, very good. Time to unveil our final two matchups in the Sweet 16. We go to the road region, where, again, I think there's a runaway winner here in the road region. I think the number one seed is going to eventually advance all the way to the Final Four. But in the road region, Chewy, of the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy grievance bracket, the number one seed, slow driver left lane, taking on one that yesterday, with all the rain, I could not believe the number of people who did not have headlights yesterday driving around the city of Milwaukee. But slow driver in the left lane is taking on no headlights in the Sweet 16. Again, no headlights is a strong competitor, but yeah. I just think that slow driver in the left lane feels like UConn to me, where they are just going to dominate people.
See, a slow driver left lane, 98% of the time it's deliberate. Headlights not on, I don't think it's deliberate at all. I think that's user error.
That people just think that their headlights are going to automatically come on and then they don't?
Well, I think a lot of people think they're on when they're not.
Yeah.
And it's tough to tell unless it's dark, dark.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can just look down on your dash and you can see if the lights are on or off. There's a little icon there that signifies if the lights are on or off.
Gabe, I don't wear glasses when I drive. I would not be able to see that.
All right, we've got a new competitor in the road region. People who drive without glasses despite needing them. You've got those glasses everywhere. Do the readers not help even when you drive?
These are great. The ones I wear, because they're trifocals.
Okay. But like the readers you have up here in the studio, those would not help?
Those are just readers.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. Which ones? No, those don't. Those don't.
No, it's just a pair of like black ones. I think they're just the readers.
Yeah, those are Walmart specials.
So do you wear the trifocals when you drive down there?
No.
What?
Distance isn't a problem, Gabe. It's the problem is, let me see. The problem is, how many feet is that one? About 2.5 feet in is the problem.
Okay.
So it's not a problem when I drive, it's just...
Well, how do you know how fast you're going? You just kind of flow with traffic?
Yeah, other cars. The sun.
What do you mean the sun?
My car's a speed dial. I used to tell time by speed dial. Speed dial is so great. Because when you're out in the farm fields, you don't wear a watch because it'd get wrecked.
Oh, yeah.
So you learn how to tell time by the sun, and I was pretty darn good at it. Could do it within like 12 minutes.
12 minutes
is
good.
No, I'm serious. You may laugh, but I'm serious.
12 minutes is good. I thought you were going to do a Kramer thing and be like, yeah, I can get within a half hour.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. I mean, who can't do within a half hour? Can I have a general idea of what time it is? The final matchup in the road region, no turn signal, taking on parking lot awareness. So somebody not using their turn signal, which Chewy also never does, taking on that person that either gets in their car, waits in the parking spot forever, or that person that is waiting for you to pull out of your parking spot and holds up everybody behind you. Look, you just got to be aware of everything going on around you. Cars piling up behind you, move on. Who cares about that spot? By the time you park, you'd be in the Target, the grocery store, whatever you're parking for, you'd be in there already.
This is going to be in LSU, Iowa. This is going to be a good one.
This should be a good one, I think.
I think, yeah, this is going to be a real good one.
Although, again, you're one of the people who never uses their turn signals as well. So vote on those at JenGabeChewy on Twitter, and we will have our Elite Eight matchups for you tomorrow. We'll have the Final Four coming up on Friday, and then our championship is going to be on Monday.
I'm not working Saturday.
Well, you are now. Just volunteered you. Chewy's not coming in, but you and me. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy bracket special coming your way on Saturday.
Is Jen back tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay.
Assuming she can get back in. I mean, I don't know what the weather's doing up here. I'm just putting my head down and just trying to plow through the rest of the week.
I tell you, I'll be interested to see her documentary.
Yeah, I don't know if we're allowed. Are we allowed to talk about that?
I wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah, I don't think we're allowed to talk about
it. Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that's like an off-the-record thing that she's working on right now.
It's a good one. Well, you know how I work. Did they tell me to talk about it, or did they tell me not to talk about
it? In full honesty, yes, that is on Jen. That, you know, if she did not want you to talk about it specifically, she should not have told you. Should not have told you.
God, it's great being me.
Do we have any update on the tooth and the retainer situation from earlier?
Well, I just went up and I said, consensus on the show is, from our resident chef Ed, is if the root's still in there, you have to get that out. And then I said, you know what? You want to get your hair done anyways, just fly back for a day, get the thing yanked out, and you're good to go. I mean, I could do it. I have a pair of needle noses here. But I don't have anesthesia. Well, I got liquid anesthesia. But
I was going to say, there's a couple ways you can go with that.
Yes. You think I could do it? I mean, I could do it. Gabe?
What don't you think you can do? Because I think that's a shorter list of things that you think you can do in the medical world.
I'm not good at sewing. So, ligaments, ACLs, definitely. Cyst, walk in the park, easy as pie. Like, when anyone has a sliver in my family or friends, they come to me.
Wait, they can't take it out themselves? Just need a tweezers. Get that bad boy out of there.
A lot of people don't like to. You know, they see a needle. Because I'm very good with a needle.
Okay.
Except when it comes to sewing and tweezers. It's very delicate work.
Yeah, you're very precise.
Yes.
Very precise. Worth mentioning as well, because you had asked the question, Chu, who got big ovations yesterday, and I forgot to mention, Justin and I forgot to mention this one. Brandon Woodruff got a big cheer as well.
Yeah, I thought I saw him.
Yeah.
Standing on the first base side.
Yeah, he got the intro.
But he's done. He's done, right?
Well, for the season. Yeah, so they signed him because, you know, they didn't offer him, you know, the arbitration or whatever, because they could have. So then he was just a free agent, and then they brought him back on a 2-year deal. So now he can rehab with the team, rehab with the Brewers team doctors. I mean, doubtful he'll be able to pitch at the end of the season, but then he'll be back next year pitching.
But
for the
Brewers. Like how he's hanging around and didn't go Bakhtiari on us, you know?
Yeah, no, he's going to be around because, again, he just loves his guys.
You know what? Don't sleep on this team.
I'm excited about this team.
Now you're bullish on the Cooper.
Yeah, let's go. Chewy's a Brewer toad now. Let's
They're not, Josh. They're not going to go undefeated, but don't sleep on it.
Who knows?
It's a bold take.
Maybe they go 162-0. Who knows? They're 4-0 right now. Will the Itouch come up next? 94.5 ESPN.